For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. Matt, the Motivator, DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg. How are you?
I'm shitty because I just showed you Kubota zero turn mower one, iPhone 15 Pro zero.
Wow, that's hacked up pretty good.
So here's the deal. Deal was is that yesterday being Tuesday, my son had the final baseball team dinner at the house. So obviously, as a proud parent, you want to get the places looking as spotless as possible, right? So I'm out mowing. The day before, in preparation, I spent, I went out before he left for school, which was 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got in at six. So I spent freaking, you know, 8-9 hours weed eating. Well, I got, you know, I'm blind in my right eye, and I got something in my eye. And back on Bull Run, I had scratched my cornea with a piece of sand, and I'll be damned if this didn't hit it yesterday, right? So I was completely blind. I couldn't even open my eye driving the zero turn lawnmower. And Wanda has planted in one area. She used the paper underneath the rock chips and stuff. So it's like a flower bed paper that you put down to block the weeds. Long story short, I cut it all up inadvertently mowing that part of the lawn, right? So there's black pieces of fabric all over the place. So I'm driving the lawnmower and I look down and I see a black piece of fabric. Well, I run over it. It wasn't a black piece of fabric. My phone was at least 150 feet away from where I struck it. So it threw my case one way and the phone the other way. So yeah, it's pretty stupid. Oh, by the way, the tip of the day, get Apple Care on all of your devices.
Yeah.
If you're with Apple, because I didn't have it. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but also depending on who your provider is, like AT&T does like mandatory insurance if you have an iPhone, because there's so many claims on it. So depending on your service provider, they may actually have insurance on the phone already anyway. You can check that.
Awesome.
Separate from Apple Care, you can check. Yeah.
I spent a nice cool grand yesterday on top.
Yeah. I've been there, not with a lawnmower. Let me tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Bet Online is the number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. You get the latest odds and lines, including team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. It's funny, years ago, when we did the Hollywood premiere for the Newman documentary, and we unloaded cars out of the trailer. That's the one that was at the Roosevelt Hotel, and there was a crane in the back. It had to lift the car up and drop it like in the middle. It was really kind of cool to do. But
you mean yeah, place it?
I was underneath a car in the trailer, and I think So we were. I was undoing the ratchet straps, and my phone fell out of my pocket. It was laying next to me. And someone else was in the trailer, and undid a ratchet strap in the front and threw it toward the back. And the ratchet strap landed right on top of my phone and just shattered the glass. And, you know, at first I was like, I'm just going to put a piece of clear tape on it to see if I can get through the weekend with it. And I couldn't even get that to work. So I just had to send somebody. I was like, just go. And I was like, I can't leave this setup for the event because it's during the day, the event's at night. I can't leave.
The problem. The problem, I mean, you know, I got to tell you, 2024, I'm an old school guy. We all know that. It's fucking liberating not having a phone.
Yeah.
It truly is. It's been the most peaceful 24 hours in, you know, except for the 25 kids that were over here. But yeah, there's something very peaceful about it, right?
You know, I don't know how long ago it was. It was probably just a few years ago. I just remember doing another event with Leno, and he just busted out his flip phone. And
notorious for that.
Yeah, and these days I think he's finally got like a modern phone, and it's probably somebody got it for him, somebody like as a gift or something. And he's like, okay,
there's no way he would have bought it on his own.
Yeah, maybe his wife or somebody got it for him, but yeah, we did several events. He's just got his flip phone, and I'm like, flip phone, huh? He's like, it works. I don't know.
I've been wanting to get a flip phone for years, right? Ever since I had the Razor, I thought it was one of the best phones that anyone ever made.
I thought they're bringing them back.
Well, they are, but it's a Samsung, right?
And yeah, you know, it's some kind of high tech thing.
Everything that you've got won't sync up. And now, you know, with all these videos, you got GoPros, and it's just,
yeah.
I finally kind of got it down, so I'm not throwing a wrench in. I'll pay
the price. No, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I've already committed to one product. Like, my brother committed to the Android platform, and then he won't go off because everything's integrated with it, just like I've integrated with my Apple iPhone. And you're right. I shoot the videos and stuff on it now. Like, I have the gimbal and I have the tripod, and whatever I shoot around here, I just shoot it on my phone. And yeah, I should go back. I don't know, maybe to using, you know, separate cameras or whatever, but I don't know. I just don't.
No,
I don't
the do camera that. On that new 15 Pro, man, my photographer is here and he's talking about, you know, well, how did you shoot that? Cause I had some XPEL footage that I was the cameraman for, and the footage is fantastic. And it's the clarity is unreal. And he asked what camera it was, and it wasn't a camera. It was my freaking iPhone.
It's just the phone.
So you gave a good analogy about not staying with one brand when you were talking about the iPhone. So that kind of leads us into what we're shooting today at Goldberg's Garage. Lo and behold, what do you think? What manufacturer are we spotlighting today? What do you think?
I'm going to go with Dodge.
Now, that was the obvious answer. That's a no, right? So I'm stepping into the Ford territory today.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Obviously, I've got a segue there eventually when I do the Lawman, which will probably be a 5-episode deal, right? But, I mean, the reality is, if you're a car guy, and I've thought about this long and hard, and if you're a car guy and you stay true to only one manufacturer, you're a freaking sheep. You really are.
Yeah, yeah.
You really are. If you look at it, and I'm being introspective at the same time, you're not a true car guy if that's what you do. If you're a brand-specific guy.
No, you're a fan of the brand, then that's different.
You're a fan of the brand, but you can't be a true car guy because there's not one brand that has the best of everything. So why not go out and taste a little bit of what the competitor has to offer, i.e. we're shooting Gage's Bronco today, right?
Yeah.
The logical transition for me as a father, as a spokesperson in the past for Dodge, would be to get him a Jeep, right? But it's 2020, the big hoopla is coming out about the reemergence of the Bronco, $100 to get a reservation. Why not do it, right? I mean, I loved the original Bronco. The problem with the original Bronco, the early days, was I couldn't fit in it.
Yeah, they're small.
Yeah, they're small. And I was very much looking forward to the rebirth of the Bronco, right? And let's be perfectly honest, Ford definitely had it out for Dodge in that space, in that time, because of what the TRX was doing to the Raptor, right? Let's be perfectly honest. So Ford came back with a vengeance, and they put out this product that came out in 65 and had the lineage that the Bronco had. And along with the timing of COVID and everything and the aftermarket world, they freaking succeeded times 50. And if you remember, I was doing a case study as a Dodge guy, but objectively as to how Ford was coming out with this new vehicle, which was a huge gamble because of all of the fanfare they had for the original. Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like bringing back the Challenger with Dodge. They killed it. Whether it was the advertising, whether it was the promotion, whether it was the delivery. Now, let's be honest. I mean, at the time, COVID was still an issue and things were pushed, if you remember.
There was a few delays, like the hard tops were delayed and stuff, but they still wildly still successful.
Yeah. But yes, so successful. And I think the success of it was a lot predicated upon SEMA's ability to get to the aftermarket world, and so they could throw out as many products as humanly possible right when that thing hit the showrooms, right?
Yes, and Ford as well. Ford wanted to launch that with a bunch of accessories available right at the dealer. And making that truck as kind of as modular as possible and working with the aftermarket. Totally made sense.
Going back as a true car guy, and I'm a Jeep guy. I've had it, but you know, I had a brand new Jeep back when I played with the Rams, and you know, I'm a big fan, but I love the Bronco and I never was able to get in it. And so I was living vicariously through my son. So we purchased the Bronco. It was a 2021. I guess it came out to be a 2022. It was the Big Bend version. It was a four-door. It was a 2.7 liter EcoBoost. You couldn't get the manual transmission except for the 2.3. I wasn't going to, you know, thinking for me, I would have loved to have the 2.7 with a manual, but it's my son's car. He didn't know how to drive a stick. So I gave him a little bit more horsepower, gave him the automatic. I knew that afterwards, there's no reason to go in and load this thing up with options because through the aftermarket world, we could do our thing.
Yeah.
So we get it. I send it to Expo. I do the normal thing. I make it look like a Goldberg's garage car, right? It's
flat
black. It's got lights everywhere. It's lifted. It's
it wasn't ordered black. I know you did the wrap.
It was gray.
Yeah, it was gray.
And that was the color that Gage picked out. But he wanted, but for some reason, he flipped, right? So he wanted black. That's when I got the wrap, right?
Yeah, right.
So we set it up like every other vehicle. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've never driven it. I drove it one time. Other than what we're going to do today, I have no experience with it. I don't know how to. The top has never been taken off. The doors have never been taken off. This is a freaking Bronco. So today I'm going to like light a fire in it and blow all the panels off, you know, on camera.
I'm actually curious to see the process of doing some of that stuff. I know section.
I have no idea. Super easy. I'll be doing it in real time because I have no idea. It's not my vehicle. I've never watched a video. So it'll probably be a time lapse because it's going to take me so freaking long to take the panels.
What were some of the other customizations that you and Gage did on the truck?
We put a 2-inch leveling kit on it. We put 35s on it. We put aftermarket wheels on it. We put the ADD front bumper, the ADD rear bumper on it. We did the rigid light bar on top, which was for this last Christmas. And then we did the rigid light bar in the front bumper, did the rigid pub lights, the fog lights. Other than that, you know, we did the wrap. That's it. Every single thing we've done is cosmetic because I'm not going to.
But that's nicely equipped.
I think it's got 300 horsepower. I'm not sure by any stretch. You know, the 2.7's probably got 300. That I thought was enough for Gage. The fact is that it's not a highway car by any freaking means.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a need. If it was a need of his, I would not have gotten the Bronco 100%. Because it's not a highway car. Yeah. I've driven it on the highway that one time.
Maybe 315 horsepower. I think it's.
Yeah, that's ample, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the weight of the vehicle.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe it's 330. I don't remember. But yeah. But it's good. It was good power.
It's good. And it's fairly stable. I do remember the one time I drove it and I got it up to speed. And I think anything over 55, and you know, it's not real comfortable. That's not the sweet spot for that vehicle by any stretch. I think it's 15 to 25 off road. But let's be perfectly honest. You know what you're getting. So yeah. If you want a highway vehicle, you ain't going out and getting the Bronco. But for what it is and for what the lineage represented, I think they knocked it out of the park. And I'm very excited today to take it off road.
Yeah. Okay. Is Gage going to be in the video? Does he even know you took his car?
Even though I took his car. Yeah. He's driving my freaking TRX.
Oh, he's driving your TRX today. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Who got the big end of that stick? But I took the TRX off road. You saw in the video, I'm going to do replicate it with the Bronco, but I'm going to beat on the Bronco a little bit more. Mainly because it's not mine, but, Like I said, I'm excited to see. I know it's not going to have the power by any stretch, but that's not what it was purchased for.
Yeah. I've had fun with that. I did the Bronco Off Rodeo event in Vegas. Now, that event was the Bronco Raptor, and we kind of walked through the changes between the two. But overall, the event was fun, and you realize, like, when you get an opportunity to take the Bronco off-road and do some of the things that it was meant to do.
That's what it was built for.
Likewise with a Jeep. I mean, we see Jeeps around LA all the time, but how many of them see dirt? You realize it's fun and it's got some great capabilities, and you're right.
They're purpose-built vehicles, right? So use it for what it's built for. And that's what I aim to do today.
Yeah.
Hopefully don't pop the tires, but I mean, hey, it's an off-road monster. I can't wait to put it through the paces. So, and it's got 35s. Like I said, it's got a 2-inch leveling kit, so the clearance will be no problem. I'm sure it'll have enough power to do what I'm asking it to do. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
You mentioned the XPEL rap and stuff. And when you were shooting the video with the Cobra, we talked about it a few times, but I don't know that we finished that story. XPEL, you brought it out there. The XPEL guys were like, this is a wildly difficult car because it's small and it's got a lot of curve and there's no single piece. So they flew somebody in.
Let me tell the story. So I Chris Hardy is the gentleman. I believe he's the head of marketing, head of sales. He's a fabulous person. Forget about XPEL for a second. This guy is a true car guy. And we talk at Barrett Jackson in January. Chris is there. He throws some of his XPEL guys to come over and wipe the car down and take care of me. And I tell him about the project we're doing. And he says, well, why don't you get the Cobra wrapped? I'm like, that'd be freaking unbelievable. You know how much these guys do for me, right? But I wanted to get them involved, but I figured, you know, it was kind of out of the box. So very long story short, he told me it was possible. I sent the vehicle there.
Yeah.
He did not get his wrapped in San Antonio. He got his wrapped up north.
Okay.
A guy named Wild Bill. He's the guru at XPEL. He's the installer, right? So evidently, Wild Bill did the install of his, and Wild Bill made it look kind of easy. And it's not easy by any stretch of imagination. And so I find out through Chris that literally the Cobra is the most difficult vehicle to wrap. And I got a message from San Antonio saying we can't do it. Then I get a follow-up phone call, and Chris says, hey, I'm sorry. We're going to get it done. Let me make some phone calls. I think a week passes. We get the car delivered. Or no, the car was already there at XPEL.
Yeah.
A week passes. He says, I'm going to take care of it. We keep in contact. Couple days later, it was a Thursday, he calls me up there. So I drove up, and he flew his two installers in, I think from Connecticut or from Pennsylvania up in the Northeast. And I'm like, so you guys are giving me all the service here, and you flew your guys in? There's one of them.
Yeah, we're looking at the photo on the YouTube channel, so you can see the photo.
And so I went up there not only to thank them in person, but to witness what they were doing. And these guys were like freaking unbelievable artists. And they did stuff and went through the vehicle with me to explain to me why it's so difficult.
Yeah.
So first off, we had to add a stripe.
Right, which was fine. And then you knew that ahead of time.
I knew it ahead of time, but I mean, it was something that was only added because of need. So I never desired to have a stripe on. So it was kind of sucks, but I'll deal with it, right? Stripe's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, they did an unbelievable job. And the problem areas, I've got the video will be coming out in a couple of weeks, but the problem areas are addressed by, it's kind of a patch that looks like rhino lining, right?
Okay.
So if you look the front headlights where the where they blend into the grill. That spot right there on the inside is one of the impossible spots. So what they've done is they put a patch right in the seam, right in the, not seam, there are no seams, right in the kind of crease area.
Yeah.
Okay. The most rounded area. That's that Rhino lining material. And it's about that big, but it's right in the front, right in the corners. And then if, you know, in the rear quarter, right, the haunch right there, right at the flare, where the rocks are going to come from the front and hit in the rear. That's another area that's extremely difficult to wrap, but that's where they were able to seam it in.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll send you some shots of it, but it's the work that they did was freaking beautiful. It was unbelievable. And, you know, for them to go out of their way and for XPEL to do this for me, I mean, I'm blessed and I feel kind of embarrassed, but here's why. We're shooting the Bronco today. And you and I had this conversation when I bought the Bronco. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get it wrapped. Well, I'm not going to send it to XPEL because it's a Ford. And at the time, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't actively putting Ford stuff out there because I was being paid by Dodge to do their thing, right?
Yeah.
Now it's a little different, right? And, God, what was the – lost my train of thought.
Who did the wrap on the Bronco?
Oh, yeah. So it turned out to be a six, you know – it's a $5,000 to $8,000 process, right?
Yeah,
the ceramic
yeah.
coating and then the paint correct, the ceramic coating, and then the PPF, whatever it is. And so I said, you know what? These guys do so much for me. I'm not even going to mention that we got the Bronco. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to source it out and I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to do it elsewhere. Wait till you see what this wrap has turned into that I did it somewhere other than XPEL. And once you compare the quality of product and installation, it's night and day, absolutely night and day. And I did it with one of the top installers around here in San Antonio, and his workman, it was shit compared.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Side by side.
Yeah, that's interesting because when you think about doing a wrap, you still get what you pay for, and hopefully you do. But you got to really find a good shop and you got to make sure they're using a good product.
Yeah. And, you know, when he came up to me and talked to me about wrapping the Cobra at Barrett Jackson, I said, listen, here's the deal, man. I got Gage's car wrapped and I didn't even tell you about it. And you're here trying to get this done for me, man. I don't deserve it. Right.
Yeah.
He's like, if you get another freaking vehicle wrapped by somebody else, I'm coming after you.
Right? Yeah.
Now I know why.
Yeah, that's fair. That was on you. I know what you were trying to do, but
it was on me. I didn't want somebody to go above and beyond for a product that
you should have taken it to XPEL and say, this one I insist on paying for. You guys do it. I insist on paying for it. Because this is a different project, you know.
But you know that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know that wouldn't have happened. So that's
I get it.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but and I've done that. I've done that too. I've done that with some of the guys. You know, I'm going, you know, I'm putting wheels or something on a truck, and I want you to make me set a wheel. I want to pay for it because it's not like a promotional vehicle that I just want to change the wheels. I want to pay for it. So I've been down that road before,
like
so I totally get
stuff,
it.
Like the MSD stuff I'm about to buy.
Yes. Yeah, we got to talk about that again. I am going to I'm going to be heading out over to the dyno again and for the Mustang Mach 1. And it's been kind of off behind me kind of sitting, and I just wanted to follow up on that. So the Mustang Mach 1, you guys know, we did the twin turbo kit on it. And when we were getting ready for SEMA, we got kind of a bass tune in it, but it wasn't the final tune. And I took it over to Ray's shop, Full Throttle Customs. Ray's been He was on Car Warriors, and he's been a friend, and he's dynoed a bunch of the cars and tuned cars and some of Adam's racing cars. He's, you know, all of Bodie Stroud's builds that are SEMA builds, Ray's done the engines on all of those.
So. You send him here to do some carburetor work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because so much of this stuff could be done remotely, except the carburetor work. Obviously, that you got to just get under the hood. So I reached out to Ray and I said, hey, we were having conversations about carburetors and tuning, and you know, you should pop onto the show. Let's have you on. And he said, great. He goes, but let's finish your Mach 1 first, so we have that to talk about it as well. So when I brought it down there, the tune was okay. There was a little bit of a hesitation around 2,800 RPM to 28 and 3,000, not necessarily a full throttle. It's part throttle, which also kind of brings up why having a good tune is as important as someone who's going to do a good rap, right? The tune isn't just for the big horsepower number. It's about the drivability. It's being able to get into that car, fire it up, and have it run well. I know oftentimes, and I've done this as well, just trying to tune a little bit on my own, where I go a little rich, and it's, you know, cause it's a little bit on the safe side of the tune, but you end up burning extra fuel and it stinks, and you know, you can run into some issues with that. So you got to get it done the right way. So the tune was fine. And it made 530 rear wheel horsepower. Now, let me explain why. I'll let Ray get into this more than anything, but when you go onto the dyno, there's typically two brands of machines. There's what's called the Mustang dyno. It has nothing to do with the car. It's just called the Mustang dyno. And then there's Dynojet. And the Mustang dyno puts a load on it. Meaning when you put your rear wheels, your rear tires on the barrel and it spins it, you can load that up to simulate moving the weight of the vehicle and air, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Dynojet oftentimes kind of spins freely. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. Ray can get into this more. So the Mustang dynos often show a lower horsepower number than a Dynojet does. It's not necessarily an incorrect number. Some would argue the Mustang dyno is the correct number because it's put load on it, and the Dynojet is kind of the more optimistic number. So Ray has a Mustang dyno, and it's a little bit of an older unit, but it works all the same. And it's really about the tuning, not about the horsepower version. Like if you were just going for the highest horsepower number you want, you probably wouldn't go onto a Mustang dyno. That being said, there's some difference, some percentage difference, somewhere around 10 to 15% difference between Mustang dyno numbers and Dynojet numbers. It's not to say that if you put the same vehicle on those two dynos, the numbers will be different, but the tune doesn't necessarily mean it's different. It's just preference. So a Mustang Mach 1 stock should put down around 440 horsepower to the tires. On a Mustang dyno, probably about 400. And so we put the car on his dyno. It did about 530, which, again, if there's about a 10% difference between the Dynojet numbers you see on YouTube, that's probably around 580 Dynojet numbers and about 530 Mustang dyno numbers. But I think it should be over the 600 mark, even on the Mustang dyno. So I think, well, I guess we'll see how far we can get. So I'm going to head out after the podcast. I'm going to go drop off the car over there. Before, when we went over there, we didn't do any tuning. We just baselined the car, looked at the tune to see if it was a good tune, see if it was a safe tune before we throttle down, and doing a couple of dyno runs that are not full RPM, right? Because if there's something wrong with the tune, we don't want to get right on the dyno, immediately go to 6,000 or 6,200 and then screw up the car, you know? So we did a couple of safe runs on it. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of power can be out of it. Granted, our terrible 91 octane gas that we have out here, it's not an E85 tune.
5 minutes and all you've fucking done is make excuses as to why your car's got so much horsepower.
Well, maybe why it doesn't have enough horsepower.
I know. It's a Ford. That's no.
Says the guy who's about to go shoot a video with the Bronco.
Exactly.
But I just think there's, you know, when you see so many of the videos on YouTube, you got to understand the difference between the machines that they're being dynoed on. And
that, and YouTube's a mythical fairy tale place.
Yeah.
Where nothing you can see, nothing you see should be taken at face value.
Well, I agree. And you're right. The fuel we're using, the octane we're using, it makes a difference. I'm not running any fuel additive or anything like that. I'm going to run 91 octane pump and get the tune safe. If I wanted to throw in some boostane or something, a couple of gallons of higher octane racing fuel or something in there, I'm sure we'll get more numbers out of it.
Well, yeah,
but that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get the biggest number, but
yeah.
Anyway, that'll be the plan for today. See how it comes in. And then let's have Ray on. Have Ray sort of explain what I've it much better than what I've been trying to explain between.
Make sure you video it too.
Yeah. And listen, this is a question for Mario as well, because Mario tunes 93 octane vehicles being in Florida. And he does a lot of E85 tunes, which we're starting to get around here in LA. I'm seeing more E85 become available at pumps. I went down the street and I passed two gas stations that have E85 now. One of them I knew was coming. The other one I didn't even realize. So I didn't even think to, because I never really did an E85 tune or thought to do it because it's not available out here.
The best way to do it, there's an E85 app and everything pops up. Every gas station that offers E85, it pops up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll ask Ray about it, but like, hey, you know, what do we need to make many changes to get it to run on E85? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, one thing's for sure, I can tell you, you'll be able to get a gallon of gas less than $5 a gallon if you win a E85.
Yeah, totally. But it's like 60% like less efficient.
Yeah, it's like 220 here.
Yeah, but my 18 miles per gallon will go to 10 miles per gallon because of the.
Then buy a fucking Chevette.
Well, listen, that's not why I have that car, but you understand the point.
100%.
And yeah, you're right. I drove down the street and the 85 was, I don't know what it normally is around the country, but it was like three something, but the gas was
it's under
I-80.
Three.
Yeah.
It's been under $3. When I landed here, when I got here, one of the biggest eye openers was that I went and filled the red eye up with the E85 and it was like $2.09 a gallon at the time. And I was like, man, I landed in heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's probably got to be $5 a gallon in Cali.
You know, I think it's in three something. And our fuel is in the fives, right? I drove down the street the other day and I, you know, whatever. The 87 octane and the 91 octane was like a five something. Up to about 589. I've seen it 599 right now for the 91 octane. And the 85, I think, was three something. I don't think it was in the twos, but it was three something. Now, it could have been 389. It could have been, you know.
It's pretty liberating being able to fill your gas tank up for less than $100, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, it's an interesting point. I got to drive by again and just kind of take a look at what the costs are. Or you're right, there's probably an app on it as well, but anyway, I'm just trying.
I've had it for 3 years.
I'm excited to get that car dialed in. And honestly, I, you know, a big horsepower number is fun to have, but the car's plenty fast, and if it runs well, I just want to be able to enjoy it.
I'd be curious to see it on E85 because you don't drive it very much. Who cares about the efficiency of it? Get some horsepower out of it. You know, let it stretch its legs. The things that Mario has been able to do with E85 and these Hellcats is freaking unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know enough on that car if I would have to change some stuff on the fuel system, because we're basically, because we're kind of boosting the stock fuel system to get to this horsepower. But with E85, I might need to change some things on the fuel system. However, the car itself will respond to changes in octane. So even just putting an octane booster, like something good, like a couple of gallons of racing fuel, or putting, you know, the can of like boostane or something in it. I wonder if that would, I think that would move the needle a little bit, not as much as a full tank of E85, but I think it would be interesting to see if that would move the needle. I think there's some horsepower on the table if it would do it. But anyway, I'm going to head out and do that. So we're going to cut things a little bit short. You're going to go shoot your video. I've been seeing the guys behind you the whole time running around.
We got the Bronco getting beauty shots, right? Or no.
Yeah, I see it back there.
Right there.
Yeah, I see it back there. I saw the guys back there the whole time grabbing some B-roll and stuff of it. So yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited to see that. And I'm excited to see the final product on the Cobra body, even though the body probably not on the car yet, but
it's still at Expel. It's getting the windshield done. And actually, here's another good little tidbit. I sat in Chris's Cobra. His is a factory 5, and the seats were completely different. And what he had done was he got the bucket seats. The buckets themselves, you know, the frame,
right?
The old school looking gimmick. So he got the buckets, and he literally put the upholstery over it. It's like a glove that fits over the little bucket seat.
Okay.
So it's not a seat itself. It's a cover that goes on top of the bucket. That looks like a seat, right? And I mean, you could see in the video, but my point is that I sat in it. It literally was 3 inches lower than my seat. So I've got those seats on order, and the upholstery shop up in San Antonio is going to do the same seat cover for me. And so I may not have to change the roll bar because it will drop, obviously, me down.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be lower in the car.
What a liberating experience it would be to have a little bit more room in that vehicle. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So that's getting done, you know, the seat frames, the seat cushions, and then they're tinting the windshield. And after the seat cushions get done, they're treating all the interior with some sun protection product. So,
you know, you mentioned the windshield. That wasn't something that was on my radar a number of years back. But now that they've got such a good, clear PPF that they're doing windshields, and I haven't done
it on the inner and outer windshield. They do it on the inside, and they'll do a cover on the outside too.
Yeah, but the glass protection, it's like, I wish I'd done that on my truck and my Mach 1. Both of those.
Frick, you and everyone else.
Cracks in the window. Funny little story, by the way. You were talking about lowering your seat. This you probably heard, but some of those you might not have. So when Tom Selleck was doing Magnum PI back in the 80s, and they have that Ferrari over at the Peterson Museum, you go and you see it, the seat foam on the bottom has been removed. That it's just like a piece of the material, because he was
just like Hogan.
Yeah. He was too tall. He had to sit in a hole every time they filmed him driving that car. Cause it just
Hogan did the same thing with I think it was a second gen Viper, like an 06 or 04.
Yeah. I don't know how he fits in that anyway, but
that's how he did it. They completely took the seat out and gutted it.
Just gutted it. Yeah. You know, one of Adam's race cars, the Steve Millen car, that one is really tight, and the bulkhead behind the seat you can't move. And then one of the reasons why, because he gets asked all the time, have you driven it? He's like, I can't really fit in it, even if he squeezes through the window, because there's no door to open. He just can't fit in there. So, you'll see on a lot of these race cars, they'll make a mold. They'll like, there's this foam piece with like plastic on it, and you kind of sink yourself into it. Like when you mold like custom earbuds or something, and you'll just make a mold to it and get it as kind of as thin as possible. And then the foam, you know, eventually dries, and it's basically just a mold of you, the driver. And it gets you a couple of inches, you know, a couple of inches either further
any,
back or
any,
down lower.
Any guy is going to make the choice that gives him a couple more inches.
All right. And with that, we will wrap it up for the day. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Have fun with the Bronco. Looking forward to those videos. And until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
Your tires on the ground.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.